A major event in Old Testament history is recorded in 1 Chronicles 11, verses 1 through 3, when Samuel anointed David king. Brother David Johnson will tell us about this in his sermon today on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to hear about the salvation found in Jesus. To show you how important this gospel message is, Words of Life has been presenting gospel radio messages for over 75 years. We now honor our Lord with song.
Father, hear the prayer we offer, nor for ease that prayer shall be. But for strength that we may ever live our lives courageously, not forever by still waters would we idly quiet stay, but smite the living fountains from the rocks along our way. Be our strength in hours of weakness, in our wanderings be our endeavor, failure, danger. Father, be thou at our side. Let our path be bright or dreary, storm or sunshine be our share. May our souls in hope unweary make thy work our ceaseless prayer.
It is with thankful hearts that we come to you in prayer. In the United States, this is our season for Thanksgiving. We thank you for all of your blessings, especially for the salvation found in Jesus. Please use the words of this program today for your glory. Bless each listener with health, peace, and needed convictions. Help us to stand firm against Satan's influences as we remain alert and ready for Jesus to come back for His church. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Brother David Johnson will now present his sermon entitled, Anointed David King, based upon 1 Chronicles 11, the first three verses. It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Anointed David King. And our text is taken from the Old Testament, our primary text, 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Please listen to the Word of God. All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, even while Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord your God said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all of the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, he made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, as the Lord had promised through Samuel." This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. An enduring part of mythology, according to most historians, is the legend of King Arthur and the Round Table. It is the story of a young king who ruled briefly over an idyllic realm, guided by Merlin the magician. The Round Table was an assembly point for a council of knights or warriors. Arthur, as an idealistic young king, wanted to bring peace to his domain, to his realm. He decided the only way to do so was to bring all the knights together on an equal basis and to let each of them have a voice in all decisions affecting the kingdom. So, all knights would sit at a round table and would speak out their minds. No one person, including the king himself, would be above the law or the decisions of the council. Arthur's strategy worked, but only for a time. The compliance by the knights in this council of the Round Table was motivated in large measure by King Arthur's compelling personality. So, for a few years, everyone was happy to contribute, and the result was the so-called Golden Age of Camelot. Camelot was a castle, and the royal court later associated it with King Arthur. But then, for various reasons, King Arthur no longer was able to hold the council together by his own charisma, and the ideal kingdom disintegrated. As soon as the kingdom lost its unity, it also lost its strength and virtue. Peace and prosperity gave way, sadly, to strife, lawlessness, and division, or so the legend goes. So, what does this legendary King Arthur have to do with King David of Israel, you may be thinking? At least two issues. First, it will likely surprise you to learn that King David was, for many centuries, considered by secular history scholars to be only legendary. That he, King David, never really existed, according to many secular historians, for centuries. The reason being that outside of the Bible, there was found to be no mention of King David of Israel, nor even any mention of his son King Solomon. Secondly, and connected to their kingships, there was not found outside of the Bible any evidence that their kingdom reigns were powerful and prosperous. Surely, critics claimed that if they were so successful, evidence of their dynasty would be found elsewhere in ancient writings of that era. A Bible scholar writes, quote, "David and Solomon are such central religious icons to both Judaism and Christianity that the assertions of radical biblical
critics that King David is no more a historical figure than King Arthur have been greeted in many religious and scholarly circles with outrage and disdain. At first, however, things didn't look good. For all of their revealed wealth and power, neither David nor Solomon is mentioned in a single known Egyptian or Mesopotamian text. None. Not even with the Canaanites. But often, it only takes one single archaeological artifact to revolutionize our accurate version of history. And in the year of our Lord, 1993, at the site of Tel Dan, a tel, T-E-L, is a hill. At the site of Tel Dan, in northern Israel, archaeologists discovered a fragment of a black basalt monument that dates to around 835 B.C., before Christ. While it spoke of a horrific defeat of Israel and Judah, which were separate kingdoms at that time, by Hazael, king of Damascus, the conqueror, amidst his boasting, he also mentions the house of David, evidently an inscription on this black basalt monument. This means that David's dynasty was known throughout the region. This clearly validates the biblical description of Judahite kings in Jerusalem, just as the Bible records. End quote. Of course, Bible-believing Christians do not need, outside of the Bible, evidence to substantiate Scripture. However, knowledge of secular evidence, including history, obviously, is helpful, even usually needful in our witness to the accuracy of the biblical record toward unbelievers and skeptics. As we examine just a snapshot of David and his kingdom under God, we are looking at the Old Testament's Camelot, so to speak, that really did exist. Eventually, David and his kingdom came to a time of peace and prosperity. These benefits came from the leadership and, yes, charisma of David, providing unity to Israel's 12 tribes. There is no doubt from the revelation of Scripture that David's royal house, his dynasty, set the standard and provided Israel with the foundation for a truly significant prophecy, which goes like this, quote, "He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And that's found in the New Testament, Luke chapter 1 and verses 32 and 33. Let's consider some of the words, possibly, of the reforming Levitical priest Ezra in the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 1 states, "All Israel came together to David at Hebron and said, 'We are your own flesh and blood.'" According to Bible scholars, by the time of this writing, David had already reigned as king of the sole tribe of Judah for more than 7 years. His capital was Hebron. At that early time, located squarely, the city of Hebron, the town of Hebron, located squarely in the middle of the land of Judah, the tribe of Judah. Similarly, as Indianapolis is in America's state of Indiana, close to the center. Hebron wasn't just central. It was a city with a long and distinguished history. The patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried there. After Saul's disastrous time on the throne, the other 11 tribes eventually found themselves in serious need of leadership, in serious need of unity, as their enemies would pick them off, tribe by tribe, if necessary. The first statement the 11 tribal representatives made established kingship with David. We are your own flesh and blood. As a practical matter, David had already proved himself a superior military leader. 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 2a. It states, "In the past, even while Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns." David had patiently waited for the Lord God to give him the promised throne as king. So finally, that time had come. Here we have an application. All persevering believers must have patient faith in order to inherit God's promises, such as eternal life in paradise. As our bodies are wasting away, we need to have patient faith, knowing that glorification, perfected bodies are coming our way in Christ Jesus. In David's case, his people needed more than only a military commander, which brings us to 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 2b, the second part. "And the Lord your God said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler." The psalmist Asaph laid out this charge given to David in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. "He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens, from tending the sheep. He brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel, his inheritance. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart. With skillful hands he led them, as is recorded by Asaph in Psalm 78. The Israelites knew that God's prophet Samuel had anointed David for kingship as God's choice some 20 years earlier. The people knew they needed a shepherd to unite and protect and prosper the scattered tribes. The public formal anointing with olive oil of their king over all 12 tribes had finally come. 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and verse 3. "When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, he made a compact," the New American Standard Bible says, "a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel, as the Lord had promised through Samuel." A celebration was in order, and its participants and provisions are described in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 23 through verse 40, which is a long passage. So, summarized, it is as follows. The total number of officers and armed men, and possibly their extended families, was some 340,800, all loyal to David. They remained with David for 3 days and celebrated God's goodness to his people. David had entered into a compact with the Lord and the people, agreeing to uphold and obey God's law and to rule in the fear of the Lord. For 3 days, Israel celebrated eating and drinking from as far away as the tribal lands of Issachar, Zebulun, and Naphtali came provisions of food on donkeys, camels, mules, and oxen. There were plentiful supplies of flour, fig cakes, raisin cakes, wine, olive oil, cattle, and sheep. For there was joy in Israel. That's the summary of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 23 through 40. Indeed, a time of celebration. Bible teacher, pastor, and Christian author Charles Swindoll, often known as Chuck Swindoll, writes in his book entitled David, A Man of Passion and Destiny, these words, quote, "There are at least two timeless principles we can learn from David's reign that apply directly to our lives today. First, no pursuit is more important than the cultivation of a godly family. Secondly, no character trait is more needed than genuine integrity." David had serious failings. When God measured the tree of David's life, however, he did not condemn it to be cut down for kindling. In God's great love, mercy, and grace, he honored the many efforts of this man David on behalf of God's people and the name of Jehovah, as well as the integrity of his heart. The only hope we have is daily dependence on the living Lord. It's the only way we can make it. God is touched with our feelings of infirmity, our weaknesses, our inability in the dark and lonely times to say no. He's touched with that, and he says, "I'm ready with all the power you need. Call on me, and I'll give you what you need." End quote. Let's always remember, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7. And so I ask, dear listener, how is your heart really for the Lord? May we be individuals after the Lord's own heart. May we be surrendered and with obedient living and integrity by faith, not by sight.
Arms here.
You received a blessing by hearing Brother David Johnson's sermon today. As we see the opportunity for us to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, we need to each evaluate our relationship with Jesus. We pray that you are a Christian. If we can help you with information about having a closer walk with Jesus, please contact us by using the addresses that will be presented. You may have a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for Radio Broadcast 2347. That's 2347. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.